So on the church calendar today, it's November 1st. It is All Saints Day, and it's also the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Today is a day that we celebrate that God has made of many people one family, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. He's made us his body, he's equipped us and called us. Today we celebrate the one true holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. There's never been a time in history when the church somewhere in the world has not faced persecution. So I'd like to highlight just a little bit some of the places where major persecution is happening right now. One of the most difficult places to be a Christian right now is in Nigeria. I don't know if you read the news story about the rescue of an American. I don't know that it has anything to do with the religious stuff that happened, but our SEAL team went in and took out this 27-year-old. But more than that, there are girls being kidnapped every single day, being forced to marry Muslims. There are people who are getting their villages burned and their homes destroyed, men who are being forced to serve in militia groups, young boys being killed every single day. In October alone in Nigeria, for Christian people, 36 Christians were killed, 8 injured, and 60 kidnapped. Just in October. In September, 196 killed, 188 abducted, and 23 injured. And it's been that way for years now. We used to hear about the Boko Haram kidnappings, but we don't hear it anymore because it's become so commonplace. But there are those who are calling for the U.S. to send a special counsel to deal with Nigeria and to help them be more accountable for their abuses. China is another place where it has not been easy to be a Christian for a very, very long time. But in the past couple of years, President Xi Jinping has made it a whole lot worse. Buildings of even churches that belong to the Three Self Patriotic Church movement, the legalized branch of Christianity under communism, have now been torn down, and even those pastors are being put in prison under Xi Jinping. The government is now making a new translation of the Bible where they are removing passages that they feel are subversive to the government. But there's good news as well. In Sudan, anti-conversion laws have recently been revoked. Hallelujah. A lot of prayer has gone into that, and prayers make a difference. We can support our brothers and sisters in Christ through our prayers, through advocacy, and through our giving. And they, in turn, teach us about the power and truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that is true for all the saints. I recently came back from my study leave group with the Foundation for Reformed Theology. Each year, a group of us get together. Well, we do on our own. We read a mix of classic and contemporary Reformed scholars throughout the year. And then at the end of the year, we get together to discuss what we've read and how it relates to our teaching, preaching, and pastoral care today. I love this group. We celebrate the contributions of the saints of old. But I also look to the persecuted church to get my theology. That which is eternally true is true for all people in all places at all times. Does it work with this people group? Does it work in this country? If it's not, it might not really be the truth. Too often, so much of what we hear proclaimed as the gospel isn't really the gospel at all. It doesn't and hasn't worked for all people in all places at all times. But my persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ remind me that suffering for the sake of the gospel is part of the Christian life. It's what we hear from Jesus in our gospel reading this morning, from his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus ends that passage with, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you on account of me." It's no different for you than it was for the Old Testament prophets. This is something that has been going on since the beginning of time. So if we hear a teaching that tells us if you only believe in Jesus, if you only have more faith, your life will get easier, then we must denounce it as false gospel. It's not true. Jesus tells us how we're to react when these things happen. He says we're to rejoice and be glad. And I've seen this lived out in our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. They have a joy that the world can't take away. I recently finished reading Peter Jacek's memoir, Imprisoned with ISIS. Peter Jacek is a humanitarian worker from the Czech Republic who has provided care for and delivered resources to persecuted Christians around the world. He's been encouraged by their devotion, and yet he himself was arrested in 2017 and spent 445 days in prison in Sudan. This is prior to their recent revocation of the anti-conversion laws. On the one-year anniversary of his imprisonment, Peter reflected on all that the Lord had done during that year. The Lord preserved him from death on multiple occasions and gave him opportunity to preach the gospel and lead many people to Jesus during that year. At that point, on the one-year anniversary of his imprisonment, Peter is able to rejoice and be glad as he writes a letter to his family telling them of God's goodness to him and how he has now become content to allow the Lord to continue to use him, knowing that he will be released when the time is right. Our persecuted brothers and sisters exhibit a joy in the Lord that no human being can take away. Despite their injuries, despite losing loved ones, losing jobs, and losing homes, they live out these beatitudes that we read in Matthew 5. They know that the treasures and blessings that they have received in Christ Jesus surpasses anything that the world can offer. So let me make it a little bit more real by sharing a bit about a girl named Debbie. Do you remember just over a year ago, Easter 2019 in Sri Lanka, that there was a coordinated attacks on three churches? Three churches were bombed on Easter Sunday morning in 2019 in Sri Lanka. And Debbie and her family were victims of one of those attacks. Debbie is now 8 years old, and in those attacks, she lost both parents and her eyesight when an Islamic terrorist cell bombed her church on Easter Sunday. In a one moment, her life story took on a new theme, loss. She had begun that day with joyful plans to celebrate Christ's resurrection with her family and friends at church. But she finished the day contemplating her new reality. I'm blind. I'm scarred. I'm an orphan. I am a victim. While such painful truths could easily come to define a person, that was not the case for Debbie. Thinking about her childlike yet profound faith, Cole, the director of VOM, writes, has brought me to tears because at age 7, she was so anchored in her eternal hope in Christ that she allowed a peace greater than loss and victimization to rule her heart. Her parents, both who died in this attack, had prepared her well. Why cry, Debbie says. My parents are with Jesus. One day, we will also go to be with Jesus. Blinded, scarred, and awaiting future surgery, Debbie has become a victor instead of a victim, as she glorifies God by radiating his joy to everyone around her. Her selfless concern for others, paired with her ability to look beyond her own temporal suffering and loss to her eternal reality, exemplifies the kind of discipleship that Christ describes in John 13:35, a discipleship to which we all should aspire. Inspired by this young sister from Sri Lanka, I consider what a wonderful family we have. In Christ, we have been given countless everlasting brothers and sisters from every tribe and every nation. Debbie's mother had left Bibles for both of her children with inscriptions and dedications. Debbie is hoping to go to Canada soon and get surgery for her eyes, and hopefully her sight will be restored so that she can read the words that her mother left for her. Just 7 years old, 8 years old now, and a strength to the power of Jesus Christ. My persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, show me the power of the gospel in a broken world. That the truth of the gospel is that despite hardships and persecution, Jesus is worth following and worth obeying. This is the truth for all the saints. That Jesus is worth living and dying for. That Jesus alone has the power to transform lives. That Jesus is the one who offers forgiveness of sin and removes both guilt and shame. That eternal and abundant life is in Jesus Christ alone. That Jesus himself is the embodiment of love. Our brothers and sisters have given up Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, animism, spiritism, atheism, and myriads of other isms to follow Jesus. And they have all found him worthy. Too often, today, we hear a gospel of a Jesus who is worthy of our emulation, but not of our surrender. Yet we forget that the only way that we can follow and emulate Jesus is if he fills us with his Holy Spirit. Without him, our good efforts are fruitless. A gospel that doesn't require sacrifice and surrender is not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. A third timeless truth for all the saints that I learned from my brothers and sisters who are persecuted is that God's love always wins. Darshini, a woman who was also left disabled by those same Easter attacks in Sri Lanka, shares about the impact that the love of her fellow believers from her own country and from around the world is having on her own Hindu relatives. She's Christians from all over Sri Lanka and throughout the world have provided support since the bombing, but the same cannot be said of those from her former religion. From the time this happened, not one single Hindu group came to help us, she says. And Rashika's Hindu relatives have noticed that too. They once looked on her Christian faith with disdain, but they no longer complain about it. They said that the love has been a testament to the faith that we are following, she said, and so I have been witnessing to them. My persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, show me how to live out the gospel towards others. They demonstrate what it means to be a merciful peacemaker, loving their enemies and praying for those who persecute them. In humility and through nonviolence, they often have the privilege of leading their learning that their persecutors have come to know Jesus Christ through their witness. Their actions and their words demonstrate the power of God. Too often these days, I see mean-spirited, judgmental, insulting speech by those who claim to be Christians towards those whom they perceive to be their enemies. And social media is the worst for this. When Jesus' name is tagged to these types of posts, it is nothing less than breaking the third command, or breaking the commandment number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Instead of pointing others to Jesus and helping them make the kingdom of God manifest, when we do these things, the kingdom of God is obscured and Jesus' followers get a bad name. But when we're labeled falsely for the sake of Christ, we can rejoice in our suffering. When we're called out by the world for our own bad actions, then we ought to be ashamed. And that ought to make us think about how we're treating those who don't yet know Jesus and call us to repentance. May it be true for each of us that those around us would know we are Christians by our love for each other, and our love for all people, even those who are mean-spirited and hurtful towards us. Finally, my persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ remind me that I don't have to be a super Christian in order to be a saint. While some of these folks are heroes to me, they're not perfect. They get discouraged. They get depressed. They cry. They sometimes wonder why God isn't answering their prayers. They worry about their families. They sin. They find it hard to forgive. They get tired. They get weak. But they trust God, and they believe in God, and they rely on God, and they practice spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and meditation and fasting and getting together with other brothers and sisters in Christ when they can. They need encouragement from us. They confess their sins and they ask for forgiveness. They are able to do things that seem extraordinary to us because they're filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're ordinary people just like you and me. They make me want to strive to be a saint, to be holy, and to finish well. A gospel that promotes cheap grace, that doesn't inspire one to want to please Jesus in the way that we live, is not the true gospel. The gospel for all the saints is a gospel that results in sainthood. It's a gospel that transforms its followers from the inside out through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. It is truth that transforms, that makes broken people whole and old hearts new. One day we're going to get a chance to meet all of our brothers and sisters in Christ as we praise Jesus around that throne. Not one single people group will be left out. All will be represented by saints. So as we share in this communion meal today, let us celebrate the communion aspect of it. It's the Lord's Supper, because it's Jesus gave it to us. It's the Eucharist, the thanksgiving, we give thanks for it, and it's communion. We're going to celebrate communion today, that we have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have fellowship with each other here in this room, and that we have fellowship with the saints that have gone before us, and that we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, especially in places where it's particularly difficult and dangerous to follow Jesus. Hebrews chapters 11 and 12 tell us that the saints that have gone before us are present with us, cheering us on, encouraging us to persevere in the faith so that we might finish our race well. So may we honor all the saints today by committing ourselves to fully follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it as we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and in us, and to submit to the Spirit whom Jesus has sent to be with us and in us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the witness of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. We thank you for the witness of the saints who have gone before us, who are with you now in glory, people whom we love. We thank you, Lord, that you are truly powerful. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who leads us into sainthood. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful followers of you, that those who we know and admire, who we think of as super Christians, that we can be like them because they were ordinary, flawed people, broken as well. And yet they were faithful. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be known for our love. Help us to be curious in this world to others, that they would want to know more about the joy that is in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand as we sing together, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord.